evening, and again, welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch, and we are excited about what God is doing and what He has been speaking to us throughout this summer. And but before we get into that, I wanted to thank you guys, especially those of you who were helping out yesterday. We've got a new office space that we're going to be moving into that we're so thankful for. God has provided for our training school and for administrative tasks to happen, and so we're excited about it. It needed some work, though, and so we had about 20 people up there yesterday helping clean and paint, and so thank you guys so much. It looks so much better than it did. Still has a little ways to go, so you might be getting another call or text, but we're so thankful for all of you guys who helped out with that. I also wanted to make another announcement, and it has to do with a location for us to meet to worship. We began at this church 11 months ago now in our home, and we met there for a couple of months and then had to move out of that, and we moved into here last October because we had outgrown that space, and we're doing the same in this space because of fire code reasons that we are looking for another space that we can meet in. And there is a particular building just not far from here, just north of University, in between Roosevelt and Hardy, if you're familiar with the area at all. And it is in a neighborhood that we feel like God has been highlighting for a while. And we want to share more vision about that area in the weeks to come. But right now, we wanted to let you know that that has been in the works. It has been a slow process. We were hoping to be able to announce that and give everybody plenty of a heads up of when we'll move. But the deadline for when we were supposed to know if it was going to happen keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. And when the fall comes, we don't want to break fire code, so we're just trying to be prepared. So we wanted to let you know for a couple of reasons. One is so that you would have it in your mind to know that we're going to be actually physically moving locations. Also, so you can pray with us for this building, for everything to go through. We've been working with the city. It is a city-owned building, and so it's just been a long process. We have fasted, prayed, gone to city council meetings. So you can pray with us on that it would go through. And also, when that building comes, or when the time comes for us to move, we're going to be moving into a morning slot. And so it's been on our heart to do that for quite some time. When we started, we started in our house. And so we just started in the evenings. It was real informal. We had dinner afterwards and hung out. And just since we moved just a couple months in, we felt like it was a little early to switch the time. So we kept it in the evenings. And there is a church that meets here in the mornings. So we weren't able to move to the morning. But we feel like the timing of the Lord is for us to move to a morning service when we move locations. And so I know that might affect some of you even more so than a physical move. And so we wanted to get that in your mind and let you know that that's going to be coming up sometime. I wish I could tell you when, but it's going to be coming up sometime. So I know most of us don't like change. And so just to get that in your mind and to be thinking on that. And we'll get you more details on that. That's really all that we know. If you have questions, you can ask. I'm just not promising that I'll have any more answers than that. But wanted to let you guys know those things that are going on and ask you to join with us in praying for that situation, because we're excited about what God wants to do and feel like he is leading us to that area, just waiting for him to open the doors for us to move through. All right. So we have been in a series on faith out of Hebrews chapter 11. And God has been pouring into our small church great amounts of faith. We really sense that God was wanting to do that over the course of the summer to prepare us for what He has called us to do, to prepare us for the things that He is doing in this valley. And I'll note that we're not alone in that. There are other great churches around us, around this valley, that God is preparing for a move of His Spirit. He does not want to just move through one local church. There's way more that He wants to do than can be the one church can facilitate. And so we are one of many churches that God is preparing for a move of His Spirit. And yet we want to do our part to be faithful, to be filled with faith, so that we're ready for that move of God that is coming and that has begun. And so this summer really has been marked for us by a journey of faith. that he is raising the water level of faith in our midst. And we're asking him to do that. And so we've been learning about the definition of faith, what it looks like, what kind of faith pleases God. Hebrews 11 specifically is about men and women throughout Scripture that have been marked by faith. And so we've been looking at their lives and asking questions of what they believed about God, what they knew the character of God to be, and how they express faith in their own day, in their own life, and learning from them. And so we're going to continue to do that tonight in Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 23. So if you want to turn there with me, we're going to look at the life of Moses and how he demonstrated faith in his day. And tonight it gets real practical, where we have been learning some about the definition and these kind of things. Tonight is really practical, because we're talking about how by faith we make choices. And we make choices every day. Some are big, some are small. Some have a lot of impact on our lives. Some are inconsequential. But we have decisions and choices to make every day. And in the big and the small, we want to make them by faith. And so let's read together Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. I had a friend who was also a pastor for a short time in college that I got to know because I was a counselor for his kids at camp. And he tells this story of a time in his earlier days of ministry. Actually, I think it was his first ministry job, and he had taken a youth pastor position in a church out in Tennessee. And he had been in this new city for about a week. And one afternoon, he was sitting at his desk in his office, just kind of restless, and decided that he was going to go out for a drive. And so he pulled out of the church parking lot and took a left. And he had been there so short a period of time that he had actually never been that direction. He had lived the other way and had only gone back and forth from his house to the church. And so he was going into new territory. And he found himself just praying and having a significant time with God. In fact, as he was driving, he felt like God began to speak to him. And this wasn't common for God to speak to him in this way. But I think God was teaching him that this is how I want to interact with you. And God said, I want you to turn right here. And so it was unusual for him, but he turned right. That happened a few more times, a left and then a right. And he found himself deep back into this neighborhood that he had never been in before. And so he was praying. He felt like, wow, this is really neat. I feel like I'm really connecting with God. And I'm hearing God. And so he just had a powerful time of prayer. And then God says, I want you to stop right here. So he pulls his car over and just continues to pray. And everything was great up until that point. Because the next thing he felt like God said was, now I want you to get up to your car, walk up the sidewalk of this home that you've stopped in front of, and knock on the door. And so up at that point, it was great until he had to get out of his car, walk up the sidewalk, and knock on these people's door. And so he began having a discussion with God at that point. God, that's ridiculous. I know like 5 people in this whole town. Why would I go up to these people's house and knock on their door? And so he's having this discussion with God for a little bit. Then he begins to drive off. He feels so convicted, he turns back around and pulls back in front of the house again, and he begins to continue the dialogue with God. He then gets out of the car, and he says, I just began walking around my car a few times, explaining to God how crazy this was, and even if I did go up there, what would I say? What am I going to do? I don't know. It was so uncommon and out of the blue for him. And yet he was so convicted, he just knew that he was supposed to go up to this house. Because he was like, well, I would never come up with this on my own. This must be God. I know that I should go up to this house. So he's like, oh, well, I don't know anybody anyway. They might think I'm crazy. And he begins to walk up the sidewalk. Well, the sidewalk V's. And one path goes to the front door. Another path goes around to a side door. And so as he's walking up, he's like, okay, God, well, which way do I go? And so as he gets to the V, he hears the side door fly open and then sees a girl with her head, her face in her hands, crying, absolutely weeping, running down the sidewalk. There's somebody in front of her, stops, looks up in awe. He is looking up in awe, scared out of his mind. And then something else happens. They realize that they know each other. The week before, just a couple of days before, was his first meeting as youth pastor of this church. And it just so happened that this girl had visited that church for the first time at that youth meeting. And so she had been recognized as a visitor, and by the grace of God, he said, I remember her name. And I don't remember what it was, but I'll call her Eliza. He said, Eliza? It just helps in the storytelling. Eliza? And she's like, yeah, between her crying, between her weeping. He's like, what's going on? And he ends up giving her a hug, and she begins to relay the story of what had just happened. What had just happened as he was sitting in his car in front of her house. Her relationship with her father over quite a long time had progressively gotten worse and worse, and it had come to a head in that moment. And they'd gotten into a huge fight with yelling and screaming, and it ended in her father kicking her out of her home and telling her never to come back again. And so she's weeping as she tells him this story. And he feels like, as a young youth pastor, that he's supposed to take her and walk her. I mean, he doesn't know what to do. What do you do in that situation? But he walks her back into the house. And he begins to mediate the situation, because as they walk back in, the father is still sitting down at the kitchen table fuming, and the mother is over in a corner with her face in her hands weeping. And he walks back into the situation, and he simply retells the story of what I just told you. I've been here like a week. I've only had one church service. I happened to meet your daughter in passing in that service. I was restless at my desk. I went for a drive. God led me here somehow and told me to come to your door. I told God he was crazy, but eventually I came up to your door not knowing what I was going to do. As I approached the door, Eliza came running out of the house weeping, one of a handful of people that I've ever met in this entire city. And as he relays that story, and as he communicates that it was no accident that that happened, but it was because God cares and because he loves, he shares the gospel. And Eliza, her father, and her mother all give their lives to Jesus that night, that afternoon. A powerful story of making choices by faith. Literal choices of, do I turn right? Do I turn left? Do I stop? Do I go? Do I move forward? Do I go left? Do I go right? All of those things. Making choices by faith. And our normal days will most likely not look like that. At least not every day. But every day does have decisions that we make. And so the question that we want to ask tonight is, God, how do we make each and every decision by faith? That we would move by faith. That when we just know something is from you, we can't explain it, we think it's crazy, but we move forward by faith. Because we believe that you are good and that you are God. And so here in this passage in Hebrews 11, four times it says, by faith, and then fill in the blank. And so our message is just going to follow that this evening. Four points on what do we learn from the life of Moses and his parents of how they made choices based on faith. So beginning in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So to fill us in a little bit on the story of Moses, he was born during a time in Israel where the people of Israel were in bondage. They were slaves to the country of Egypt. And so they were literally slaves, and they worked from sunup to sundown. They were beaten. It was a miserable existence. And the ruler, the Pharaoh of Egypt, was so cruel that out of his fear of the Israelites becoming too many, that they might rebel and overthrow the Egyptian rule, he gave an edict that all the boys that are born in the household of the Israelites are to be thrown in the river. They're to be killed.
And so it was at that time that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they saw that he was no ordinary child. We often make choices on what we see. We take in our circumstances, we perceive the things that are going around, that are going on around us, and we gather all the details, and then we judge the best course of action to take. We take it all in with our eyes. Moses' parents here, we're told, saw that Moses was no ordinary child. And they didn't see him and say with their eyes and say, "This is the most beautiful baby that we have ever seen. He must be not ordinary. He must be better than, have something on his life that no other child does." He didn't start talking and they realized, "Wow, he's a genius baby. There's something going on here." No, that's not what they saw. They saw something that was something that God was speaking. And in fact, the Greek word used here for saw is most often translated to know. To know, to really perceive something. That it has something to do with sight, but it has even more to do with the heart. And so just like Darius, my pastor friend, just knew that he was supposed to go to that house, there was something that Moses' parents just knew about this baby. That he was no ordinary child. And they knew it so strongly. They were so convinced that they risked their own lives, they risked the lives of their other children to keep this baby safe. Because they just knew that he was no ordinary child. And they didn't know what it was clearly. They didn't have this clear imagery of what God was going to do or how he was going to use this kid. Maybe they dreamed that God might use their son to deliver Egypt out of slavery, to give them freedom from the slavery and the oppression that they had faced. Maybe that was a dream, but they just knew that there was something unordinary about this child, something significant about him. And so by faith, because they believed that God was speaking that, they hid him. They were not afraid. And I began to further imagine what it must have been like. Because this is kind of the story of what happened with Moses. After they hid him for those 3 months, it became impossible to hide him anymore. And so his mother decided that she would make a basket and put him out on the river and pray that something would come along, something would happen that would save this baby's life. And sure enough, as he floated down the river, he floated down the river to a place where the daughter of Pharaoh was out at the river. And she saw the basket and ordered one of her maidservants to go out and get the basket. And when she saw that there was a baby in there, it says that her heart went out to this baby. And what Moses' mother had done was told his older sister to follow the basket to see what happens. And as soon as the daughter of Pharaoh saw that there was a baby in there, Moses' sister came up to them and said, "Do you need a Hebrew slave? A Hebrew mother to nurse this baby until it's time for him to be weaned?" And the daughter of Pharaoh said, "That's a great idea." And so she went back, got her own mother. Her own mother was then paid to nurse and begin to raise Moses until the time for him to be weaned. And when he was weaned, he went and lived in the household of Pharaoh. And I imagine in those days of childhood and getting up into puberty or that, whatever the age was, that there were times when his parents were like, "God, you said that he was no ordinary child. But how will he ever know? He doesn't even know that we're his parents. Does he even know that he is a Hebrew, that we are his people, that you are his God? You've got to let yourself be known to him." And it was in those days that they had to remember what they had seen, what they had known, that God had said, "This is no ordinary child." And so their choice of faith to preserve Moses' life opened up a lifestyle of faith. You see what I mean? They made a significant choice of faith. But that doorway of faith that they opened and they believed and they took a risk then led to a lifestyle of faith. Because the answer, them seeing that he was no ordinary child, didn't take place for years to come. So they had to continue to believe, to see that the word of the Lord. And in faith, see it come to pass. They had to persevere in what they had seen. in those difficult seasons when they were still in slavery. And Moses didn't even know from where he had come. Choices of faith lead to greater places of faith. And it says, lastly, they were not afraid of the king's edict. And when you see clearly, when God allows you to see, when they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they saw that they had a task and to covenant and protect Moses, they saw clearly, and so fear left. Because they saw what God saw, and they saw his plan, they saw his purpose, so no earthly king's edict was going to cause them to fear. When we see as God sees, we see clearly, and we see rightly. So we choose, we make choices by seeing, by knowing. Secondly, we make choices by identifying. Verses 24 through 26 say, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And so we make choices by identifying with God. By identifying with God. And identifying always entails taking a stand. When we decide to identify with God, that's the same thing as taking a stand for what we believe. That I'm going to be identified with Jesus. I'm going to be identified with my Lord. And when we take a stand, that means we are putting ourselves in a position to be knocked down, to be shoved, people to throw eggs at you, to do whatever, to say or ridicule you, to say wrong things, to accuse you, to ridicule you. But identifying requires taking a stand. And so when we make choices, we identify with God. And I felt like the key in this, practically, in making decisions, is that when we make a decision, we always filter that decision through this question. What is going to cause me to grow in my relationship with God? What decision is going to further or make better my relationship with God above all else? Not what is going to propel me down my career path, what is going to gain me the most success, what is going to allow me to acquire the best knowledge, but what path is going to cause me to grow and increase in my relationship with Jesus above everything else. And in that, we trust that when we grow in our relationship with God, that everything else is going to get better. All the dreams of our heart that we felt like we had laid down, God will meet as we follow him in that way. And I can say with confidence that that is a question that we must grid every decision through, because that's God's heart. God's heart above everything else for you is that you would come to know him better, that you would draw near to him, that you would know his love. And so we want to make decisions that cause that to happen at a greater level and at a greater measure. And so we process our decisions through that. And it never makes sense to the world. It will never make sense to the world. To many of those around you, they'll think you're crazy. I mean, who trades in the riches of Egypt, this powerful empire? Trades in the riches of a palace and chooses to be mistreated with slaves rather than to identify with the ruling powers and authorities as a prince? He identified with God's people, slaves, rather than to identify with the riches and the power and the authority of Egypt. And to any worldly perspective, that is crazy. If you want to have a good heart, if you want to lay down your life, use your power and your authority. Stay in that position. Rise to power. Free people that are around you. But he said, no longer can I identify with these people. I must identify with God. I must identify with him. I must stand up for what I know is right now. And it will look foolish to all those around you who are living from a worldly perspective. But it is wisdom. It will be so wise to those who have found the goodness of God, who have found the favor and grace of God, when we're walking out his plan for our lives. When we identify with Jesus, we are living with the end in mind. We have an eternal perspective. Too often we get short-sighted. What can I amass for myself? What can I accrue? How do I need to get on this career path or do this or that? And so I can make myself known, so I can set myself up for the future and provide for my family, or whatever that we say in that moment that's so short-sighted. And we want to live with the end in mind, with an eternal perspective. What am I really living for? Where am I really going? Am I investing here, or am I investing towards eternity? We want to live with the end in mind. So we make choices by seeing, by knowing. And we make choices by identifying. And thirdly, we make choices by increasing intimacy. Verse 27 says, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And this third one, in some ways, packages the first two together nicely. It says, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. And so we reject fear. We reject fear. Not because of your great bravery or my great bravery, but we reject fear because of his great love. There's a book in the Bible, 1 John, that says God is love. He's the very definition, the essence of love. He is love. And it says, in his perfect love, all fear is cast out. In his perfect love, he casts out all fear. It gets the boot. It's gone. It's driven away. And so we are able to live by faith. And so Moses was able to persevere, not because he was a great warrior, not because he was a man of valor, but what does it say? He was able to persevere because he saw him who is invisible. Because he saw him who is invisible. And remember, we looked at that word saw earlier, that Moses' parents saw that he was no ordinary child. Well, this is actually a completely different word in the Greek. And it most often is translated to see. And it has this nuance in it, which I think is really appropriate for this usage here. It means to see, to become acquainted with through experience. So to see, he saw him who was invisible. He became acquainted with him who was invisible. He experienced him who was invisible. So again, I picture Moses' parents saying, God, you have got to speak to him. You've got to reveal yourself to him. And here we see that God did that. That somehow in his palace life of riches and ruling and however his life looked, God intervened. He entered in and he revealed himself to Moses. And Moses saw him who was invisible. And so we choose through intimacy, through looking at Jesus, through getting in his word, through spending time. That's how we make our choices. We don't make choices by gathering excessive amounts of information, trying to read between the lines and figure out a situation. We don't choose because we've manipulated the situation to work to our greatest advantage. That's not how we are to go about making decisions. We choose by getting into the presence of God. We choose by increasing intimacy. God, you're going to work out the decision. I just want to spend time in your presence. I want to worship you. I want to go deep into your word. I want to draw near. And out of that place of intimacy, place of love, first of all, fear goes. Fear is given the boot so that faith can rest on you. And when the faith rests upon you, you know that out of that place will flow the right decision. You know out of that place that it's not even about a right or wrong decision. It's just about walking with God and knowing His goodness, that He will be with you as you go. And so we make choices by increasing in intimacy with the one that we allow to lead us. Yeah, we just want your leadership. And so we make choices by increasing in intimacy. Lastly, we make choices by obeying. Verse 28 says, "By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." Moses' parents' wildest dreams were realized through Moses. He grew up and he did become the deliverer of God's people. God used him to set free the people of Israel from their slavery and bondage. And God did it by doing miraculous things. He would show his great power against the people of Egypt every time that Moses would come to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Pharaoh would refuse, and then a plague would come against the people of Egypt. Finally, on the last plague, the worst of all, God said, "I'm going to come against Egypt by killing the firstborn of every household. So that that does not affect the people of Israel, what I want you to do is to sacrifice a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and paint it around the door of your home so that God will know that you have covenanted with Him and that death will pass over your home." And we're told that by faith, Moses did that. Why was that in there? Why was that by faith? Everything else, he had done the same thing. He had given the order that God had given, but by faith, Moses gave this order that the people of Israel, you need to do this. You need to covenant with God tonight so that the destroyer will pass over the firstborn of your home. And so he spoke these words by faith, believing God. And yet what he did was simply obey. He simply obeyed. God spoke it, and he relayed it. He lived it out in his own household. And as I was going through and studying this passage, I felt like what God was highlighting was that it simply comes down to obeying in the end. With some decisions, especially the bigger ones, we have so much going on in our mind. There's so much peripheral things going on. And we just need to, but sometimes we just know. We just know what the right decision is. And we need to get down to it and simply obey. "God, I'm just going to obey. It's what you've spoken, and so I'm going to step forward and obey." And as Moses did that, I thought this was interesting, that from that point to the present day, every year Passover has been celebrated. Every year, the faithfulness, the deliverance, the protection, the provision of God has been celebrated because this act of faith on the part of Moses and the people of Israel. And it's true for you today that when you operate and you make choices by faith, that you will leave a path behind you for others to step into and that their lives might also be marked by faith. When you make choices by faith, you will leave a legacy for others to step into and say, "I can live by faith also." And you will have an influence on those that you live with, on your family, on friends, on coworkers, on roommates. So we want to make choices by simply obeying God and paving a way of faith for others to walk in and find more of God themselves. And I firmly believe this, that you will never regret making a decision by faith. I don't think that there are people lying on their deathbed that say, God, I wish I wouldn't have obeyed you there. I wish I wouldn't have lived by faith in that way. I wish I wouldn't have by faith obeyed your word and spent more time with my family or respected my wife or laid my life down for this or that. People just don't do that. It's the opposite. Decision by faith. I don't think that there are people lying on their deathbed that say, God, I wish I wouldn't have obeyed you there. I wish I wouldn't have lived by faith in that way. I wish I wouldn't have by faith obeyed your word and spent more time with my family or respected my wife or laid my life down for this or that. People just don't do that. It's the opposite. There's